welcome to the New Beginnings message of the week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good to see you guys. Really good to see you. We love coming here. We love these guys. Where'd you go? Mama, you should be proud. I know you are. You should be proud, and your parents too. I am eager to meet them someday. Like, just seeing you two, it makes me want to know your families in a whole different level. I truly am proud of you guys. Some of my favorite church planters. Yeah, you do it. You do it. So Fred's going to speak this morning, as he said, but I wanted to share something with you. That we were singing, I have nothing left, nothing to bring to a king. I always think of the little drummer boy when I hear that part. Anybody else do that? Yeah. It's like it has that same part to it, doesn't it? But something, in the kingdom, this is one family of a bunch of families. Would you agree? Yeah. The kingdom is one big family. And we believe that if you have left family, you've left the kingdom. Yeah. Okay? If you don't have room in your heart for family, you have a problem with kingdom. If you have problem with love, you have a problem with God, because He is love. So anyway, it's great fun for us to come here. And as we go, we travel all over the place. In fact, Tuesday we get to go home for the first time in months, and we will be there for over a week. Usually it's passing through for a couple days. We have a new great grandbaby on the way, get to see our granddaughter and how she's coming along. There's just so many things, as well as our daughters and our grandkids. And our son-in-law, we love them all. And it's just, you miss family when you're gone. Yeah. It's not because we're perfect, but we were created for family. And so I want to share some family stories with you. I'm going to start out with one, and then Fred's going to pick up and share some, and then he's going to share the sermon. And these things, whenever we bring something from family, it's that thing of sometimes when we have been brought up with an orphan mindset, we don't realize that, wait a minute, that's mine too. That can build my faith. And if that happened to them, instead of getting jealous like families get sometimes, instead it's like, hey, do it again, God. Do it again. I want my version of that. It'll alert us to the fact of maybe something's going on in our families or in our jobs or whatever, and look what God did. Now, this first one, I want you to really hear this. We know this person personally. She's in the church in Casper in Hope. Okay, are you guys with me? I want you to hear this. This knocked our socks off, except it was fall. I didn't have socks on, but it knocked our socks off. So there's a gal in our church who is a masseuse. Her name is Laura. She loves this story too, so she won't mind that I tell you. But Laura had been having to take lots of time off from her job, which she self-employed, right? So she had to take lots of time off, and with that goes your paycheck. And she was taking time off because she had her hands began to get so bad that she had, I think it was psoriasis or something like that, that was so bad that she could not do the massages. And she's very good. Everybody loves to go to her. He goes to her more than I do, but he loves her and how she does all that. So I'm stumbling over my words here. I'll get it here in a minute. But it came to this point where her doctor bills had piled up. She had to go to the emergency room lots of times, had to have lots of doctor visits. This was very severe for her. So not only could she not work and earn money, it's going out by the bucket loads. Yeah. Anybody else understand what I mean about medical bills? Piling up. So she called our daughter Jenny, and she was in a lot of tears while she's in the emergency room. Jenny and her husband, now pastor of the church that we started, we transitioned to them. A lot of you know that, but just to catch up, if not. And she called Jenny, and she was in tears. And Jenny, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have any more money. I mean, I haven't had money for all these visits, and it's just stacked up to this horrible thing, and I haven't been able to work in so long. Does the church give out loans? And Jenny told her, says, no, we're not in the loan business. That we don't do that. However, how much do you need? Okay, and we will, as a church, start praying for you. Now, they had helped her in other ways, so that's important too, not just prayer, but they had helped her in other ways. But we will be praying with you, and as a group, how much do you need? How much are we going after? Did you know we have found that when we have a need, if we will actually write it down, and this is especially true, we see with financial things, if we will write down the amount and we'll say, God, I need this, or a date on the calendar, whatever the case might be, There's something about that, confessing it before God, and we're all in. We're not coming sheepishly, okay? We're not coming like orphans to a harsh God, our Father. We're coming as beloved sons and daughters, laying it out before Him. So Jenny says, what is it? We'll pray for you. And it was a ton of money. We're talking emergency room visits. Anybody else been there? You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, stay with me on this. So we're praying for her, but she still doesn't have it in her hands. Well, Jenny calls us, and she's so super excited because also told Jenny, I think I'm ready to start. My hands aren't really ready, but I have to go back to work. If you know anybody that would like a massage, I will take a few of those just so I can make some money. And so Jenny got the word out to the people in the church, and a couple people said, if she can do it today, I'll take one today. And so she was able to get in one of them. Her name is Chelsea, okay? So we've got Laura and Chelsea. So Laura meets Chelsea at Laura's own office, and it's locked up. Nobody else can get in there. There's not somebody comes in and cleans, anything like that. But she goes in after this phone call, and people are praying. She goes into her office to meet Chelsea to give her a massage. And as she's in the office with her, she notices some paper lying on the floor over here, and she had cleaned already herself and thought, I missed a piece of paper. And how'd that happen? So she went over, now get ready for this. She went over to beside her desk and on the floor, picked it up, and it was wadded up, but it was an envelope with thousands of dollars in it. And on the outside of it, it said manna from heaven. True story. Paid her bills. I'm telling you. Okay, that's not a Christmas story. It's a Christ story. Okay? That literally, you can hear those stories, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but sometimes there's a holy envy that rises up inside us. I want God to move. I want to see Him move. But every time we have a testimony, it's raising up that water level, spiritual water level of faith, and causes us to say, if God did that, I'm going to call for prayer. I'm going to ask for prayer. For our hope to get up, but it's the faith. Romans actually tells us that faith is what brings us our victory. Yes. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you have command and permission anytime any thought that is not one of faith to say, sorry, that came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not the tree of life. I reject you, okay? I receive. No, I'm not pointing. You are not from that tree. You're from the tree of life. So he has three more, and these are family stories with all of our people right there in the Wyoming area. So Fred, do you want to share the other ones and then preach?
I do. Thank you. While she's sitting down, thank you. God blessed me with an amazing wife. Would you give her a hand? We've been married 46 years. In June 4th is 46 years, and I do remember the date. So it's awesome. We celebrate it all year long. Kind of like Christmas, we try to celebrate it all, and Thanksgiving all year long. You know, if you stop being thankful, it's not going to go well for you or anybody else around you. So growing up, my parents were pastors, but they were also bivocational often, and Pat's parents were pastors and bivocational often. And one of the things that I thought, as I'm a pastor, as I get older, I don't want to be bald and fat. So, I am bald, but I am trying to keep my weight down. So anyway, I'm not for sure why I even shared that, except that it was a miracle that, you know, that's true. And so at 68, and she's 66, we still feel like we're full of the presence and power of God, that I'm not getting older, I'm getting better, like a fine wine, you know. And I just want to tell you that I started preaching when I was 14. And so hopefully I've learned a few things. But you know what? My intention when I go to preach anymore, I won't forget the three testimonies. My intent isn't that I can preach a great enough sermon that everybody's going to be changed. What I want to do is give the Holy Spirit room to do what He wants to do. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I've already seen for many years what man can do. Now I want to see what God can do. And I just want to tell you that God is a God of breakthrough. And I want to plant the seed right now. If you need a breakthrough in your life, God wants you to have the breakthrough that you need. So I ask you to begin to attach faith to what breakthrough it is that you need right now so that we can see him do that. And I just tell you, just go ahead and get healed right now. Just go ahead and let depression go. Let discouragement go. Let all of that fall off of you and begin to just experience the lightness and the joy that comes when he is, God is arms around you, loving you like a loving heavenly Father, because that's what he is. So back to the other three stories. So a young man in the church, well, he has a 10-year-old, and his 10-year-old plays baseball with our 10-year-old grandson. And so Stephen is his name. I don't remember the 10-year-old's name, but their neighbor had a fourth stage pancreatic cancer. And Stephen and his family were getting ready to go on vacation, and they were concerned that they might get back and that he not even have made it. And so he and his son walked next door. They're not real close to them, but wanted to go by and just say, can we pray for you? We're getting ready to go on vacation. Can my son and I pray over you? And the gentleman said, yeah, I'd love to have you pray for me. So he and his son laid hands on this man and prayed for him. They go on vacation and they get back, and he comes over to tell them, I am completely 100% cancer free. Come on now. Isn't that amazing? So we have a church that we have partnered with for probably 15 years or more out in western Wyoming. You know, Wyoming is just north of here, in case you didn't know that. And anyway, and we don't have a whole lot of folk up there. 560,000 people, which is about the population of Colorado Springs, spread out over the whole place. But we had some of our people go out to LaBarge, Wyoming. We have a friend from Australia. The first time he went there, he thought he landed on the moon when he got there because of the terrain around there. It looks so interesting. And in the meeting, a man was asking for prayer because he had a tumor in his stomach near his belly button, and that he wanted to be healed. And they believed that it was cancerous as well. And he's going to be going back to Texas, which is where he lived, and to see if it could be removed. And during worship, the children spontaneously, yes, decided to gather around him. And they actually prayed over him for over an hour, even after worship, an hour and a half. They prayed over him. No one was staying. Okay, kids, stay there praying. Don't leave. It was just like they felt called to pray for this guy. He gets back home in Texas. They check it out, and there is no tumor. Come on. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. So, a good friend of ours at the church there in Casper, he likes to ride his... Right, all these happened with the ones she shared, and these that I'm sharing all happened within 2 weeks. So, you know, next time we're here, we'll share the next 2 weeks what happened. So one of the guys in the church owns his own business. He loves his $3,000 bicycle, electric bicycle. And he, this was during the summer, he rode it to the church. And he doesn't lock it up. He just set it beside the building. And usually when his wife came, they decided to leave and go eat. And he forgot all about his electric bike. And so I believe it's Tuesday morning. And he says, whoa, where is that bike I love so much? You know, And, you know, hurried up to the church to get it, and it was not there. Someone had taken it. They looked on the videotape because we have cameras outside, but they could not see what had happened to the bike. So son-in-law and daughter called some people for prayer. They came up. They began to pray, God, would you show us where this bicycle is? Would you return it to him? Yes, yes, amen, and use it for good. And so they began to pray, and then they began to drive around town trying to see if they could spot where that bicycle is, and did not spot it. The next morning, our daughter at home, not at the church building, but at home, looks out her front window and sees the neighbor's truck in front of their house, not their house, but their neighbor's house, and it looks like they have that bicycle on top of their truck. And so she is looking at it and taking pictures of it and sending it to the owner and his wife and to her husband, Brad, who's up at the church. And I think I found the bike. It's out in front of our house. And so you know, she's concerned because their neighbors are very interesting people. And actually, Jenny would have called them, they're kind of scary. And so it's like, you know, I want to make sure nothing happens, that there's no problem or, you know, no, we don't want to make this worse than it had been already. And so she's just looking out there and praying. And about that time, her husband drives up, Brad, and he gets out and he's looking over the bicycle, and it's like he's pretty much sure it is, and people are trying to communicate with the owner. And so Brad goes up to the door and knocks on the door and says to them, where this bicycle looks like our friend's bicycle, where did you get it? And they said, our uncle bought it 2 days ago. And he said, well, I'm pretty certain that it's his, and he's on his way here, and he has material, because this kind of a bicycle, it actually has a serial number on it, and he has paperwork with a serial number on it, just like, you know, a car or whatever. And there are special markings on the bicycle. And about that time, Ryan shows up, and then a few minutes later, the uncle that says he bought the bike shows up, and he is a huge man. And Jenny's looking out the window thinking, oh, no, Lord, what's going to happen, you know? And they get started talking, and the guy says, I bought this from someone 2 days ago. And in their discussion, they hear from him that really what was going on is that he was trying to get down to Colorado for a drug rehab, but didn't have the $300 for the bus ticket. And so part of the money he spent was to get this bike. And so they begin to talk to him, and Jenny's looking out the window, you know, continuing to pray, and all of a sudden they're laying hands on this guy and praying for him. And he got saved. And they're praying for him to have healing. And Ryan says to him, I will pay for you to get a bus ticket to Colorado. And so he said, I don't want any trouble, but I know this is my bike. And so the end of the story is he has his bike back, and the guy has his $300 ticket. The guy is saved, and then he's on his way to get a better healing and stay in a place where he can move ahead in his Christian walk. Now, that is a testimony right there. Come on. Can you think of any other details of that?
Yeah, actually, they did know the bike was stolen. They realized the bike was stolen. He hadn't bought it. It was stolen. But the point is that they all realized God totally blew them out of the water.
Yes. 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 Yeah, absolutely. When you're praying, ask God, show us where the bike is at, and you go all over town, you can't see it, and then it is up out in front of your house. Now, that is a miracle. Yeah. That is God at work. I want to tell you, God is here today. That he knows the breakthrough that you need. He knows what you need, and he wants you to get everything that you need. Because he loves us like a good father, and Jesus described it often, that a good father would not give you a snake. A good father, he declared it to us so that we would see what a good father is like. So I want to share with you a passage of scripture where we find a breakthrough in someone's life. And I want to read it to you and then share a few things with you and give us all a challenge about how not only can we receive a breakthrough, but that we can help be a breakthrough in someone else's life. In fact, I think I almost have more fun in helping someone else get a breakthrough than I do getting a breakthrough myself. But they're both amazing. So this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Luke 13, beginning with verse 10. This is out of the Passion Translation of the Bible. Hope that you like it. It is a translation, not a paraphrase. And it says, one Sabbath day, while Jesus was teaching, and I'm going to read more than one verse, by the way. I'm going to read about 15 verses, okay? One Sabbath day, while Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he encountered a seriously handicapped woman. She was crippled and had been doubled over for 18 years. Would you guys say doubled over? I say that word doubled over because that means this wasn't like someone's kind of bending over. They were doubled over. Have you ever been doubled over by a problem? Something that really hits you? And I'm not just talking here physically. I'm talking emotionally and spiritually, because in this story, this woman needed more than a physical healing. This was a lot more than a physical healing. She was doubled over and had been doubled over for 18 years. Her condition was caused by a demonic spirit of bondage that had left her unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her condition, he called her over and gently laid his hands on her. Then he said, "Dear woman, you are free. I release you forever from this crippling spirit." Instantly, she stood up straight and tall and overflowed. Someone say overflowed. With glorious praise to God. Man, I want to tell you, if I had been in something for 18 years, I would have some glorious overflow happening. Whoa, wow. That would be exciting. The Jewish leader, I almost got to do the melodrama and say boo, you know, but it's a, the Jewish leader who was in charge of the synagogue was, however, infuriated. He was infuriated over Jesus' healing on the Sabbath. Can you imagine that? Can I tell you something very interesting right now? Is that okay? So, the Jewish people in that day had a lot of people who were experts in the law. But there weren't many people experts in love. And religion has a lot of experts, but often they're about the laws that we're to keep. And there aren't many people that are experts in love. The New Testament tells us that we need to focus on not the love of law, but the law of love. I mean, I think that makes a lot of difference. I have found that having Pat and I pastored for well over 40 years, I felt like it didn't work very well to tell people about, your church and inviting them to come to church. And you know, that it didn't work well to say, God's really mad at you. He's pretty upset with you. But would you like to come this Sunday? You know, I found that wasn't a good combination. So here it is. This is what the guy said. 6 days you are to work. He shouted angrily to the crowd. Those are the days you should come here for healing, but not on the seventh day. The Lord said, you hopeless frauds. Because you care for your animals on the Sabbath day and tying your ox or donkey from the stall and leading it away to water. If you do this for your animals, what's wrong with allowing this beloved daughter of Abraham, who has been bound to by Satan for 18 years long, to be untied and set free on a Sabbath day? Amen. God heals on the Sabbath day. God heals on any day, any moment, any time. He loves you all day long, every day. There's not a break. You don't have to get up in the morning wondering, does God love me today? Does God see me today? Here it is. When they heard this, the crowd, his critics were completely humiliated, but the crowd shouted with joy over the glorious things Jesus was doing among them. Whoa. I believe this woman, it's not in the scripture, but if I know human nature, she got up for those 18 years every day wondering, is this the day? Is this the day? Is this the day that I will be free? Is this the day that people will see me? Is this the day that people will look and see me more than the person bent over, but see me someone in need of their prayer and of their love? So here's what I see about Jesus, is he sees us. In this scripture, it says he saw her. I want you to know he sees every person in this room. He sees you. He sees what's going on in your life. He sees the breakthrough you need, and he wants you to have the breakthrough that you need. He sees you today. And it says he called her over to him, and he healed her, and he touched her. You know, I grew up pastor for a long time. I remember the old gospel song, "Aunt, he touched me." I want to tell you, Jesus touched you, you're never the same again. That same Jesus is in the room right now. Attach faith to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. Can I just ask a question? Does anybody in the room need a breakthrough somewhere in their life? Anybody, okay? And I'm raising my hand not so that you can, but I need some breakthrough in my life as well. And it doesn't hurt me to admit that I want some breakthrough in my life. I want you to know that as Pat and I pastored, that it was our belief that if your joy level, let's say, your joy level was at 95%, that means you still need a breakthrough. Some of you think, if I'm at 95%, well, that's just good enough. I'm not for that. I'm for overflow. Overflow, you know. That you get some overflow going on in. And so that when people say, do you want an upgrade in love, an upgrade in joy? Well, I'm doing okay. I'll quit doing that I'm okay stuff. I was okay, but I got over it. We're called to live at a level way beyond that. Ephesians 3, Paul prays for the church, and he says that you would experience an unlimited level of glory and an unlimited level of favor. That isn't a little trickle. That is an overflow. So that breakthrough, invite him to come and begin to break down whatever has been obstructing your breakthrough, because he wants you to receive it. And we're going to pray for that when we get through. So God sees us. You know, it's interesting that I've used that a lot of times to talk to someone that I've never known, that I just meet them. They may be a server in a restaurant. They may be someone that's waiting for their food to come, and we're standing waiting in line, and I get started talking to someone, and I'll say, do you know that God sees you, and he loves you when he sees you? It's true. God sees you, and he's calling you to himself, and he's speaking to you right now, and he is touching you right now. This scripture has been a powerful scripture because it has taught me a life message that Pat and I live by, and that is seeing the one. We have preached to the multitudes, but we always see the one. Jesus was not wasting his time to notice one woman that was bent over. He wasn't wasting his time, nor was he wasting his time in John chapter 4 when there was a woman by herself at a well. No one else was there. It was on a hot day, and Jesus went there to that well just to touch that one woman. But that one woman touched a whole village. Could it be that God wants to touch the world one person at a time? Because you see, if you are in Christ right now, at one point you were the one he was reaching out to. Well, on the streets of Casper, we have loved going out and taking groceries to people. And we love the idea of letting people get free groceries. We'd go up to people, we go to apartment buildings where we knew that there might be a lot of people that could use groceries, and we'd say, would it bless you to receive some free groceries? Would that bless you? And really what we wanted to do was simply an opportunity to love them. We're glad they got the groceries, but more than that, we wanted to love on them and draw close to them if we could. One of the teams, when we were out, we came across a woman named Angel. And Angel said, yeah, I'll take those groceries. And they said, can we pray for you? And she said, yes. And she began to tell her story. This is in Casper, Wyoming. She says she was a year ago gang raped in Denver, shot in the head and left for dead. And now lives in Casper but is in pain every single day. And they prayed for her. 2 weeks later, we're back in that same neighborhood again, and she runs towards us saying, my people, my people. And she tells us she has thrown away her medications because she has no more pain. Wow. Interestingly enough, she has not accepted Christ yet. And about 6 months later, we find out Angel is in the ICU of the hospital, one of the hospitals in Casper. And someone lets Pat and I know about it, and we go up. And her sister is there with her. We begin to pray over her. And Pat began to prophesy over her that she will live and not die, that she will win many to Christ, including her family, and prophesies over her. Fast forward five years. We didn't even know what had happened to her, but we're preaching in Gillette, Wyoming. And after the service, a woman comes up for prayer, and it's one of those things where sometimes I know it's going to happen, most of the time I don't. But I know this was one of those times where I knew when I put my hand on hers, she is going to go down in the spirit. Now, that may scare you, but do you know why people go down in the spirit? Because they can't stand up. That's why. Okay, that's kind of a joke. You could laugh if you wanted to, you know. Okay, but it is true. So you can't stand up because the Holy Spirit can overwhelm us. And she went down. She's a big gal. Boom, she went down. And later she gets up in a few minutes, and she's in the back. And all of a sudden she realizes she knows us. And she comes up and begins to talk to us. Okay, I want to back up. Before she notices it, the pastor is telling us who that is. That woman, he says, her name is Angel. And she just got saved 2 weeks ago and has already led 3 or 4 members of her family to Jesus. And about that time, she says, I know who those people are. And she actually said, I can remember your wife's voice, because it was a woman that was speaking very directly and prophetically. And I remember that my sister told me about that woman. Wow. So I want to tell you, this message is about seeing the one. See the one. Every person in this room, whether you're retired or you're working 5 jobs, we feel like we don't have enough time to do hardly anything. But what if God wants to reach our community one person at a time? We are convinced that he does. So therefore, we pray every day, Father, show me the one today. Father, show me the one today, that we would see the one, reach the one, disciple the one. You see, Jesus inspired me by saying he saw that woman. And what does it say that Jesus lived by? That he saw what the Father was doing, and he did what he saw the Father doing. That's what I want to do too. So I pray every day, Father, show me the one. Show me the one. Anybody here concerned about what's going on in the Middle East? Anybody heard that? Okay. Did you know that Iran, they are saying, is where the gospel is growing the fastest? Did you know that? So we have a friend of ours that was on a Zoom with a man from Iran. And he went by the name of Kay because he's an American, white-looking guy, American type of guy. And his wife was Iranian. And he's sharing how they are reaching so many people in Iran. Can I share this story with you? And he says, I need to tell you a little bit about my wife first. And he said that she was a member of Hezbollah and was trusted enough that as a woman, she even carried an automatic weapon. And she had come home one night from probably beating up women that weren't doing what they're supposed to do. And her mom had MS, and she was saying to her, he said, I don't think I can handle this anymore. It was like the woman bent over for 18 years. And she said, I'm going to take my life tomorrow, and I wanted to let you know that. This daughter, Kay's wife now, said, well, I'll do the same. We'll do it together. I'm discouraged too. I want you to know that a lot of the Iranian people are discouraged right now. That a lot of their mosques are empty except for officials and military, because they have been told that this is what God is like, but they are a nation of orphans, looking for a father and not finding one in their religion. That's the truth. So it's interesting. So daughter and mother, after they eat, get in bed and they're going to watch some TV, you know. Yeah, it's their last supper, you know. And so they turn on the TV, satellite TV. there is a guy preaching the gospel that they turn on. I mean, just, you know, it just happened to be that way. And so they listen to that and they flip off the TV. I mean, they turned off the TV and went to sleep. I'm not for sure if I was going to do that the next day, how I would go to sleep, but they get up the next morning, and Mom begins to move around and do the things of the day, and she realized something's different in her body. And she realized she was 100% healed. And they both got on their knees and went to that Jesus that that preacher was talking about the night before. So, speed this story up. And they immigrated to the U.S. They're living in Southern California, and that's where she and Kay meet. And he is a believer. She's a believer. They get married. And at some point, she says, I feel like the church here is asleep. I want to go back to Iran, and I want to pour into my country. And so she goes back. And so this is what Kay's wife does all the time. Kay can't leave the house because of the turmoil right now. So he can't even go out and do this. But he's encouraging people behind the scenes. But even as a woman, and this is happening all over Iran, and actually it's happening all over the world right now, right here in the United States of America too. People are coming alive that we can see the world change one person at a time. Yes, I love seeing a multitude of people in a stadium. And I want to tell you, the day I got saved when I was 10 years old, there were more than one person that got saved, but I knew that he was telling me that I was the one too. And so what they do is that they will go into busy places and they will sit and pray until God says, that's the one. You see, a lot of us are afraid of talking to someone we don't know or someone we don't know well. But you see, when the Holy Spirit says, that's the one, the Holy Spirit has already gone ahead of you. He's already gone ahead of you. Just like he did with Angel in the story that I told you, and a couple other stories I'm going to tell you in a minute. That the Holy Spirit is going to, it's not knocking on a door cold. The Holy Spirit has gone ahead. And so he shared one story of his wife seeing a drug dealer and watching him all day long. And the Holy Spirit says, he's the one. So she goes over and says to him, why are you so sad? And he spills his guts. Tells her why he's so sad. He says to her, would you be willing to come back here tomorrow and I tell you my story? And that's risky, a woman in a Muslim country speaking to men that she doesn't know. He came back the next day and she tells her whole story. And he leaves still unsaved. He goes to his apartment, shuts the door, and a white cloud appears in his living room. And a man in white steps out of that cloud, and it's Jesus. And he's on the street now every day looking for the one. I want to tell you, I'm busy too. But I want to tell you, my agenda is never going to make room for the miraculous, for the supernatural. But his agenda will always make room for it. Let me share a story about being in Starbucks, which we have plenty of them. And I want to back up and say, reaching the one. Pat and I did not even know we were doing this, but for over a year, some of it may have had to do that Hardee's had some good biscuits. Okay, right. Can anybody say biscuit? Okay, right. Okay, and didn't realize that we were going through, and both of us were seeing the same person.
Different cars.
Different cars. Yes. Different times and different cars. And my office at that time was pretty close there. And the manager, we were having a connection with the manager. We saw the one. I won't tell you, though, but he had a wife and five kids. 10 years later, they're not only all born again, but she's our main worship leader. I want to tell you, this is the real deal. You see, if you will pray every day, let me see the one, let me reach the one, let me disciple the one, it will change this world. Iran is being changed. I know it needs a lot more change. I know China needs a lot more change. But I want to tell you that I've been in those secret house churches in China, and I know what God is doing. And we don't know the end of the story in those specific countries or a specific town, but I know how this ends. I want to tell you that it's good. So I was in a Starbucks, and this, a year later after being in that Starbucks and talking, because I saw the one, I've been praying for the one, and I saw the one. This is a Facebook post, thank you. And so this person says, this is a time hop notification. Let me know that I have been friends with Fred Bruner for 2 years as of today. The day I met Fred, I was extremely stressed and studying for my final exam of my first semester of respiratory therapy school. I was sitting at Starbucks with a pile of books and my laptop open, trying to cram every bit of information for my exam. I want to tell you, I did not read what any of the titles of those books were. That's important to know that. I was feeling extremely uneasy and defeated because I needed to do very well on this test in order to stay in my program. Fred approached my table, introduced himself, and said something along the lines of, God told me you are a medical student. No, and actually I had a woman go with me to our table, by the way. God told me you are a medical student, and I'm wondering if I have your permission to pray for you. Fred and I prayed in Starbucks, and he went on his way. Here I am now, 2 years later, a registered respiratory therapist in Laramie, Wyoming. What Fred did only took 2 minutes out of his day, and is something I'll always remember and be thankful for. A little bit of kindness and faith was exactly what I needed. Wow, that happens over and over and over again. And you stay in a community for a while, you literally begin to touch and impact a community. And I know in a big city, half a million is a big city. But you have places that you go to that you can touch and that it will make a difference. And I want to tell you that when you decide to keep doing something, because I know that as Christians, you are faithful people. You want to faithfully walk out what God has given you, and this is one of the ways that he does it. But I also want to tell you, it's not just out at a restaurant or out in the community. I was in a church service in the state of Maine, and it was exciting to be there because it was one of just a few states I'd never been to before, and so that was exciting. We have a couple Bethel Leadership Network influencers in the room. This guy, Dave Harvey, had preached that morning, and I was helping ministering to people up front. People would come up front and were praying down at the front. And as I'm praying, I look up and I see back about four rows, I see a young man, and I now know he was 12 years old. And I walk back to him while everybody else is up here praying. And I walk over to in front of him, and I said to him, are you sensing God's Holy Spirit drawing you to begin to serve him and to follow him, to follow Jesus? And he said, yes. And I didn't know this at the time, but the person on one side was his mom, and the person on the other side was his best friend. And what I found out was is that dad had left mom and son 6 months before. And so the message about a loving father wants to come to you and love you and touch your life that I got to present to him because the Holy Spirit allowed me to see that he was the one that morning. And so I hope that you hear that. It isn't just out there, but it's in here. And he got saved, and his friend next to him rededicated his life to Jesus, who was also 12. And there were two other young men, boys, 12-year-olds, in the back who got saved as well. And a year later, I talked to the pastor, and he says, those boys still are following Jesus with their whole heart. I want to tell you, seeing the one, God wants to change every place we go, one person at a time. Just needs us to be willing to say, I'll pray every day. So I'm up front, and some people have come down to pray, and actually there were probably 20 people praying, and I move over to this guy. His name was Rob, and I assumed at first that he came down because of what we'd been preaching about. And I say about five words, and the Holy Spirit says, he's the one. Now, I mean, in one sense, everybody that came forward is the one, because that Jesus touches us one at a time, that he died on the cross for every person, right? He died for all. But he sees you as an individual. He doesn't just see you as a crowd of people, but he sees you and knows you as an individual, and he knows the breakthrough that you need even today in this room. And so I start talking to him, and I asked him, do you know Jesus? And he said, no, I don't. And one of the coolest things is that I got to lead him in a prayer to receive Jesus Christ. The lady standing next to him was his mom, who'd been praying for him for 35 years. Wow, she felt a little bit like she was the one that morning too. To be there and see that happen. So I want to encourage you to join me in praying every day to see the one. So I wanted to start off with Luke 13, and you see what it looked like for you to be the one. So I put myself in the place of that woman bent over, that I haven't had that physical issue where I was bent over, but what I have had is I've had some problems that have bent me over, that they were tough, that I didn't have the strength in myself to get over them. And I told you that I don't want to see what I can do. I want to see what God can do. I want to see what God can do in you and through you. That excites me more than anything else I can possibly think of. So I would like to ask you, is there anybody in this room that would begin to join me to every day pray, Father, show me the one today? And when you show me the one, I will actually go to them, because I know the Holy Spirit will have prepared them. They could even be in your family. They could be in your school. They can be in your workplace. They can be someone that you randomly meet coming out of a convenience store. But that I will pray and I will faithfully ask God to show me the one. Here's another prayer we pray before I ask you to stand up and join me in this. Is we pray every day, Father, help me to see people the way you see them. Help me to feel about them the way you feel about them. Feel about meaning have the heart for them you do. Believe about them the way you do and speak about them the way you do. But I start by saying the same about me. Because I can't give away what I don't have. I can't give away love that I don't have. And so I want to be the resting place of God's love. And so I say, Father, help me to see me the way you see me. Help me to feel about me the way you feel about me. You know, I am supposed to love me the way God loves me. Because I can't love my neighbor if I don't even have his love for me. And so I pray that over myself. So let me ask you, would anybody be willing to stand up and say, I would be willing to faithfully, as the Holy Spirit would, show me the one every day. I would be willing to pray that, and I'd be willing to speak to them. Is there anybody that would stand up and say, I'll join you, Fred, in doing that? Good. We should have some fun out there. I grew up in a holiness movement, and they didn't talk about fun very much. And I don't think it is a bad word to say that we can have fun together. I mean, joy is a much better word than fun. But we can have joy and fun at the same time, as we are seeing God touch people through us speaking to them. So I want to pray for you right now as we ask and come together to do that. Because it can make a difference not only in your life, but in Colorado Springs. So Father, I just right now release the Holy Spirit to show us the one every day. That we will see the one that we will begin to have discernment and wisdom and understanding about who is the one. That we are committed to living by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Not knowing people by the flesh, but knowing them by the Spirit. And that by the Spirit we know that this is the one. And that we will have the courage to go and speak to them and know that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak to them. And as we speak to them, we will see that the Holy Spirit has gone ahead of us and opened them up to hear whatever he wants to say to them through us. So, Father, whether we're traveling in another state, another country, another part of this town, wherever it is, that we can see the one, and it not only encourages them, but it stirs and encourages us, because it says the God of the universe wants to touch every person on the planet, and he wants to use me to be a part of his strategy. This is not the only way we can reach people, but we realize, Father, that this is one of the most amazing ways. We don't have to get overwhelmed because we can't reach everybody, but we can reach one at a time. Father, I pray that you'll give people insight, that you'll give them revelation, that you'll give them understanding. Ephesians 1 says that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I release that now. And Father, I also release a baptism of the Father's love, that we would touch people because we love them, not out of duty, but out of love. Not out of religion, but out of love. That we're not like the religious leaders of Luke 13 that were upset about someone getting healed on the Sabbath, but we realize that God's love is for every person. We don't have to wonder whether or not you love them. You love them, and that's why Jesus came. And so, Father, I just thank you that you're giving us courage, that you're giving us insight, you're giving us revelation. Father, you're giving us the heart to touch other people. Amen.